Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Let's talk about the lack of trust in our institutions tonight. We have a quick update on all the Fannie Willis Trump trial stuff, the war on children, all that's coming up tonight on I'm Right. All right, before we get to the trust in our institutions or lack thereof and what I'm seeing going on in the country right now, I think it's important to open up and kind of give everyone an update on the Trump trial disaster that is this Fulton County mess with Fannie Willis and her lover and a testimony today. So let me toss it really quickly over to Josh Hammer. Let him give you a quick update. Josh Hammer of the America on Trial podcast. He's updating people every single day on this stuff. He updates me. Here he is.
An absolutely explosive day in Donald Trump's legal cases throughout the country. So in New York City, where the former president appeared in person, the judge there has confirmed that Alvin Bragg's prosecution of the former president for so-called hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels in 2016, that trial is going to commence in a little over a month, on March 25th. That is the most legally frivolous of all of Donald Trump's criminal prosecutions, but it is going to be the first now formally out of the gate. But even bigger than that, the really big news of the day, down in Fulton County, Georgia, this highly anticipated evidentiary hearing in the courtroom of Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee. We've been building up to this for a while. This is the explosive stuff. Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. It's a scandalous affair right out of Hollywood. The big news that we learned today is that it appears, based on the testimony of one of Fannie Willis' former co-workers, that the romantic involvement of Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, her special prosecutor on the Trump case, began in 2019, almost 2 years before Fannie Willis formally tapped Nathan Wade to be the special prosecutor when it came to the prosecution of Donald Trump in November 2021. That is explosive stuff. If that is confirmed, and that is contrary to what Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis have previously said, this case is dead. Donald Trump's getting really, really lucky in Georgia. If you want to hear more on this sort of analysis every single day, go ahead and check out my new podcast with the First Podcast Network, America on Trial with Josh Hammer.
There you go. Now you're updated. Now I'm updated. Now let's talk about America and where we're at. Now, I need to clarify something. What I'm about to describe, what we're going through as a country right now, it's not unique to us. Countries throughout history have gone through exactly this. When a country gets, I hate to use this term, but it's true. When a country gets on the back end, on the back nine, if you will, the later stages. No, America's not going to go away tomorrow, but when a country gets on the back end, governments become extremely corrupt and gross and evil. And what happens is the people separate from their government. They no longer feel connected. And look, the government feels the same way. Government turns against the people. People turn against the government. They separate from each other, almost like they're two totally separate entities. I saw something yesterday. It was encouraging, yet also discouraging. Now, let me explain. Mike Turner, Republican congressman out of Ohio, we all woke up to the news. Wake up one day and we're told that there is a national security threat, some sort of imminent national security threat. It was very cryptic. There weren't any details. And nobody freaked out. Nobody. Not a single person I saw freaked out. Jake Sullivan gets in front of the podium. And he added fuel to the fire. The reporters asked him, hey, Jake, what's with this national security threat warning? And Jake Sullivan said, well, I mean, I don't know that it's the end of the world. But and the reporter goes, well, can you assure us that Americans are safe? And he basically said, well, no, I don't have that assurance. ABC News comes out and says it's about Russia. Russia's putting nukes in space. And still, through all this, throughout the day, I did not encounter a single person in my personal life or anywhere else that took this seriously. In fact, 100% of the people I know did this. Oh gosh, here we go again. They scoffed. They rolled their eyes. We had warnings from Jake Sullivan, a congressman, a major media organization, that we were about to be under attack in some way. Very cryptic, very eerie, and Americans didn't believe them. We simply didn't believe it. Now, listen, before we keep going into this, let me explain. That's a good thing. The government has turned evil and corrupt and rotted, and now when they say things, you shouldn't trust them. When the media comes out and says something, you should automatically assume that's a lie. Without even verifying anything, assume it's a lie. That's the built-in response. When the government comes out and says something, you should automatically assume they're lying. That should be the automatic assumption, and it's good that we're getting there as a society. But it's also bad that we're getting there as a society. Let me explain. Once that separation occurs between the government and the people, which is where we are now very clearly, once that separation occurs, it's very, 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 very difficult. Maybe impossible, but very difficult to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Because it's not in an evil government's nature to try to earn your trust back. And that's really the only way to get trust back, right? Is you have to earn it. If you screw up with someone in your life, kid, husband, wife, whatever, business partner, whatever it may be, and you do something that violates trust or they lose trust, the only way to get it back is to earn it, and it takes time. It would take the government having to be really open with us, holding themselves accountable, trial after trial after trial for government official, FBI agent, politician, these evil CDC doctors. It would take that to earn our trust back. That's what it would take to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But an evil, corrupt government doesn't do that. They've never done that. What happens is when the people separate themselves from the government, from an evil government, the government, it doubles down and triples down almost every time on everything that cost them the trust to begin with. So it's good that you don't believe it when these people tell you lies. At the same time, it spells trouble for our country. And let's talk about something else. What if that threat was real? Could have been, right? It could have been for the first time in forever that they were telling the truth. Oh my gosh, there's a nuclear bomb in Los Angeles. That would be something that would be a big deal, and we would need to act, right? But the problem is the trust has been so violated for so long, we're never going to believe them, even when it is real. I mean, look, who are you going to believe? CIA? We have confirmation now, courtesy of New York Post, many other things, about what the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI did against Donald Trump in 2016. And I want to make sure everyone understands this, and I'm sure you do. Donald Trump was a private citizen, not in office, not a politician yet, running to be president, a private citizen running to be president, and underneath President Barack Obama, the intelligence agencies of this country and the FBI decided to build a narrative that would hurt Donald Trump, that would give them the authority to spy on a private citizen who happens to be the political opponent of the then sitting president. This is such a staggering scandal. This should result in 500 people going to federal prison for the rest of their lives. That's how damaging things like this are for a nation. It should be CIA agent after FBI agent after politician on public trial right now facing life in prison to save the country. You may say right now, Jesse, that's harsh. Jesse, that's being over the top. I'm telling you right now, that's the only way to save the country. That's the level of accountability we will need in order to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But they're not going to. And look, the Russian collusion stuff. Let's talk about media, government officials. I want to give credit to Mays more for this. Look, just look at this. How could you ever trust these people with anything again?
Maybe the biggest lie of all, repeatedly and with no facts to back him up, making the outrageous claim that the so-called deep state spied on his campaign. He did it again today.
But I hope it's not true, but it looks like it is.
It's not true. It's a lie.
Did the intelligence community spy on President Trump and his campaign?
No, we did not.
This is not just an angry president popping off. This is a deliberate and coordinated effort to save his presidency, to cast doubt on the Russia investigation by repeating a lie, repeating it every chance he gets. And that repetition is a key part of the strategy here, because if you hear him say the same thing over and over and over, it gets into your head.
Could you ever trust these people with anything again? If those people got on camera right now and said, the Russians have already fired a nuclear weapon. You have 5 minutes to get to a bunker. Get safe. Would you believe a single word of it? No, you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. And you shouldn't. Let's talk about the medical institutions of this nation. What if we get a virus that really is a killer? And I mean, 50% mortality kind of killer, bubonic plague type thing. Those diseases, those viruses have always existed in some form. What if one actually got here, landed on the shores of Florida? It's working its way through the country. How could you believe anyone after what they did and what they said during COVID?
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth.
You know, science is truth.
What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat.
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists.
Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research, makes you think of that cartoon I saw of the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
If some jerk exposed my mother to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
I want to make sure I give credit to Tom Elliott at Gravian for putting that montage together. But what if that new deadly disease gets here and those people ran to the television and tried to tell you about it? You wouldn't believe them. And it's good, again, I want to stress, it's good that you wouldn't believe them. However, a nation's people and their relationship with its institutions is everything for the country. We have separated and we continue to do so. And the only way to put it back together is government accountability. Will we get that? History says we will not. We can hope and pray that maybe we can make that happen here so we can save this whole thing. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. John Daniel Davidson is going to join us next and talk a little bit more about trust in institutions. Before he gets here to tell us about that, let me tell you about trusting Lone Star Transfer with your business. You want out of your timeshare. I know you do. Everyone does now. Can't even get in this stupid thing anymore. The annual fees have doubled. I know. Lone Star Transfer, they're 99% successful getting people out. Over 18,000 homeowners have legally, timeshare owners, have legally and permanently gotten out because they made a phone call. Look, you can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know how to get out of all this. This is what Lone Star Transfer does. A family business that has been doing this for a long time. You're not stuck. Stop writing that check to that timeshare you don't use and call Lone Star Transfer and let them set you free. All right? 844-310-2646. Call them. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Impeachment inquiry is underway, sparked by a complaint from someone within the intelligence community. Feeds the president's concern and often used term about a deep state being there to take him out.
Thank God for the deep state. With all of the people who knew what was going on here, it took an intelligence officer to step forward and say something about it, which was the trigger that then unleashed everything else. Now, why does that happen? What I tell American people why that happens is this is the institution in the U.S. government that, with all of its flaws, and it makes mistakes, is institutionally committed to objectivity and to telling the truth.
Oh, well, man, I feel so much better now. They're the ones who know the truth at the CIA. If they want to destroy a man running for president, just trust them. That always works out well. Joining me now, John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist, author of the book Pagan America. John, these people, what blows me away is not that they're evil. I know evil people exist. It's that they all see themselves as being the good guy. It's wild to me to hear a CIA director say that and think, wow, I'm the good guy here.
I know. It's very rare that these people actually just come out and say what they think. They think that they have a right to rule this country and to rule over you and I. And that if we object to that at all, we're the enemies of truth and objectivity. We have to be destroyed and silenced because they're here to protect us and govern us. And it's their right to do so. That's what they really think. And every once in a while, gosh, they just come out and say it.
John, you have a great piece up in The Federalist I want people to go read. Our most serious national security threat isn't Russian nukes in space, it's intelligence agencies in Washington. John, I remember a line from a movie that I actually loved, everyone else hated, called The Good Shepherd, when they're building the CIA and he looks at a guy and he tells him, I really want this to be America's eyes and ears. I'm worried it's going to become America's heart and soul. It did. How did that happen?
Well, look, the intelligence agencies are the number one threat to our republic, our number one national security threat. They have very clearly been turned against the American people from the moment the American people did something that they were not supposed to do, and that was elect Donald Trump to the presidency. Ever since then, our intelligence agencies, and evidence of this comes out more and more, seemingly by the week now, are basically at war with the American people. They were at war with the Trump campaign before he ever won the White House. They went to war with his administration, and then they went to war with his supporters, beginning immediately after the 2020 election. And they're still at it. You have to follow Washington politics a little bit too closely for your own good to know what the Russian nukes in space thing is about. But suffice to say, they are trying to distract us from the fact that they, not whatever Russia's doing, are the real enemies here and the real opponents of freedom and self-government and our Republican way of life.
John, what was it about Trump that they found so threatening? And I'm not saying everyone has to be some kind of Trump super fan. I'm not. He's got plenty of flaws. But they all reacted to him like he was poison in their mouths and they had to get it out at any cost. And he was a guy, still is a guy, is really kind of moderate. He's a deal maker. He was always right. ready to strike a deal. And they acted like he was Francisco Franco. What was it that scared them so much?
I think the phrase that explains a lot of this is something that came up during the impeachment, the first impeachment of Trump, which was interagency consensus. Trump went against the interagency consensus on Ukraine, on Israel in the Middle East, on NATO, on a whole host of things that are near and dear to the intelligence community's heart. And they can't abide a president, who cares that he's elected by the American people, the foreign policy and a lot of these other issues, but they feel belong to them. And if a president or if Congress or if anybody else goes against what they have decided should be U.S. policy, they will go to war with that person. And that's what they did with Trump, because he was not on board with the interagency consensus.
You wrote a piece about Mitch McConnell in Ukraine, and this is another human being I find fascinating. I can't stand him, especially anymore over the past few years, but I find it so fascinating the two things he did. One, an amnesty bill with foreign aid, and then he dropped the amnesty thing, and then he just went with foreign aid. Never a thought about America at all. Didn't even, honestly, the most impressive thing was he didn't even pretend, right? He didn't even really pretend it was like about America. What's Mitch McConnell's deal?
Yeah, his whole thing was you can have Ukraine aid plus immigration amnesty. Oh, you don't want that? Okay, well, just Ukraine aid then. That was his compromise position on the border, was to grant 2 million illegal immigrants per year and authority for the president to suspend the whole thing whenever he wanted to. That was his compromise position. These people do not care at all about the border. They like illegal immigration. They want more illegal immigration. As far as Mitch McConnell's concerned, the Biden administration policy on the border has been a huge success because the number of illegal immigrants is at an all-time high. They like that. That's good for them as far as they're concerned. Representative Jerry Nadler a couple weeks ago sort of like, you know, accidentally said the truth. In a hearing, he was like, if we don't have illegal immigrants, you know, our vegetables are going to rot in the ground. They see illegal immigrants as like an underclass, like a servant class that needs to come in and displace American citizens and basically be, you know, subjects that serve them, the ruling class. And so we really see in this whole debate where McConnell's priorities lie, and they don't lie at the border. He's concerned about Ukraine. That's the most important thing he can do legislatively in his mind.
Are they going to impeach Biden? I realize our majority is basically gone now that we got rid of that dastardly George Santos, and we have a Democrat there, and McCarthy retired, and. Is Biden going to get impeached? I mean, it's looking bad for him, but we don't have the numbers to do it.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think, and I wrote the other day that the reasons to impeach him keep stacking up now. But I don't think there's going to get any movement on any of them. There's already ample evidence to impeach him for his family corruption. They've been working on that for quite some time. And you just see the GOP lawmakers that are, you know, the things they've said about that probe is oh, it's a mess. Oh, it's convoluted. Well, yeah, it's convoluted. It was a sophisticated money laundering scheme to sell access to Biden for policy decisions to benefit foreign governments. There's a lot of shell companies, but that's why you have impeachment investigations. That's why these guys have staffs and investigators. It is complicated, and it's their job to unwind it, but they're not up for the task. And then, of course, you know, last week with the special counsel report, it's clear that Biden's unfit for office. There should be impeachment, an impeachment hearing going on right now on that basis alone. But I have no confidence that they will actually do that.
John, I'm a world famous author myself. After all, I've written one book. You have a book coming out, don't you?
Yes, I do. At the end of March, you mentioned earlier, Pagan America, which is about what happens to American society when Christianity fades from public life, as it is doing very rapidly right now.
We'll have you back on to talk about that then. I promise you that. John, I appreciate you, brother. All right. We were talking about loss of trust in institutions earlier. Remember East Palestine, Ohio? How abandoned they were? Shane Cashman's going to join us next and talk about what's going on, what's happened there. Before we get to that, let's get to this. I'm sure you've seen the recent stories about the toxins they're finding in our food. I'm sure you've heard people talk about how American food being poison, so much crap in our food for a lot of different reasons. We have to do things to help our body clean up. Your liver needs help. Your liver is your body's filtration system. We have to help it. The toxins, the alcohol, the whatever it may be. You've got to help your liver. That's what Liver Health Formula is about. Helping your liver. And I know this, I've been diagnosed with a fatty liver before. My liver needs help. Go to getliverhelp.com/Jesse. This is drug-free, no more big pharma stuff. Getliverhelp.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So do you plan to travel there and have you talked with the mayor?
I can't recall whether I don't think I've talked to the mayor. I've talked to everyone else there and multiple times.
I don't have anything to share on a presidential visit. Not at this time or anything to announce. He's been to Ohio many times before during his administration, so it's not unusual for him to go there.
Is there a plan for him to go?
I don't have any trips to preview for you at this time. The president intends to go. Don't have a time or a date to preview at this time.
I said in March that you would go to East Palestine, Ohio. You came here. How come you haven't gone to East Palestine yet?
Well, I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine. There's a lot going on here, and I just haven't been able to break. I was thinking whether I'd go to East Palestine this week, but I then was reminded I've got to go literally around the world.
Can you tell us today when the president will make that visit for the people who continue to struggle in East Palestine?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked about East Palestine. I don't have any scheduling news to make.
Does the president still have plans to visit the disaster site in East Palestine, Ohio?
So I don't have any schedule of the president at this time.
I don't have any updates on the scheduling front for the White House.
You hear this, say this over and over. You hear from the president over and over again because he wants to make sure that he's there for this community. I have to.
Yeah. Well, it must be a miracle. Tomorrow, a year later, he's actually going to stumble his way into East Palestine. That'll be, I'm sure, very riveting for the people there. Joining me now, investigative journalist, author, and a good one, Shane Cashman. Shane, people forgot about East Palestine real quick, but not as quick as the White House did they?
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting watching those clips. And now thinking of them walking this sick old man into a radiated landscape seems like a trap, honestly. And it's a joke because those people were abandoned by this administration. You know, Trump came through for a little bit. They ran out Buttigieg when he came to visit. And a year after this tragedy and these people have been suffering, it's extremely alarming. He's going there for a photo op, clearly. Like the eating chicken fingers with the Black family. This is his next visit on his photo op tour.
Shane, let's talk about the immediate aftermath, because in the weeks right after, you were there. What was it like then?
So I was there about 2-3 weeks after the explosion. Those people were extremely terrified. They didn't know, and they had no answers. They didn't know what the landscape was filled with yet. They couldn't eat their chickens. They couldn't sell their livestock. They couldn't use their water. They were given a little, like maybe $500 to $1,000 to go get groceries from Norfolk Southern, which in this day and age with the economy as it is, that's like one trip to the grocery store. People were evacuated. They were just starting to come back. I spoke with people on Market Street, which is basically their main street there, which is the railroad goes right through that main street. And they were not sure how long they could stay open. The water, there's a stream that goes beneath all their businesses. That water was contaminated. You're seeing one of the streams right now on screen. That's how it looked when I was there. And I think, you know, last I spoke to some of these people in that town, they were closing up shop. Some might be holding on by a thread, but a lot of them are, there's just nothing they can do. The town is completely dead.
Shane, are we seeing medical problems? You say you've stayed in touch with people, and I'm glad you have, but after a year, that stuff is going to certainly start to reveal itself. Are they having problems? Are they just worried they're going to have problems? What are they going through?
A lot of people were they're going to have problems. There were people in the immediate aftermath of that mushroom cloud that were experiencing really strange rashes. This is children. This is the elderly. There were reports of many fish dead. There were reports of all these bees dying in an apiary. But it seems like for now, there's nothing like immediate happening where they're like, oh, I have something. I think they're mostly worried that there's going to be a long-term effect. A lot of this stuff that was dumped and burned in their town is cancerous. And it's is the worst stuff possible that they burned in that atmosphere, so much so that it did an inversion in the atmosphere where it basically caused a temporary dome where nothing could leave the atmosphere of East Palestine. So I think these people are rightly worried. The EPA tells them that everything's fine, but we know how much we can trust these government institutions who tell us everything's okay.
Why didn't Joe Biden go in the first place? Is it just because this is a Trump area? Is it really that? I hate to be so cynical, but is it basically that? Did they pull out a congressional map and say, wow, they don't like me there and I'm not going, so screw them?
It's hard to know. It feels like that's politics definitely play a part in it because it is hardcore Trump town. There's Trump signs everywhere. But it's also, you know, since going to East Palestine, when I was there that week, three other chemical dumps happened in like Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia, one in Jersey. And it's like, I've been calling it the revolving door of tragedy, where it's like, we can't even keep up. We're experiencing whiplash as the people from one tragedy to the next. Even that the shooting, that terrible shooting in the Christian school happened in Tennessee the weekend I was there. So I think there's a lot of whiplash from this revolving door of tragedy, but there's no excuse for Biden to not go there. The people need him regardless of how their politics are. And, you know, we're seeing money go being launched into space all over the country, all over the world. So it would have been nice to see a little more help sent to East Palestine.
People don't trust their government anymore in this country, do they, Shane?
No, there's no reason to trust the government. They hate you. They want you to suffer. They want to price you out of your homes. You know, there's something I didn't uncover it, but I looked into it when I was writing my story, something called a brownfield. I guess a lot of people don't know about it, but places can become brownfields, these contaminated places. The government will just buy up and then turn it into their own thing. It happened in, you can go look at Times Beach, Missouri. They also experienced a similar situation with the same chemicals, and everyone was evacuated and the government chewed it up and it became their own thing, which is what I worry about a lot of these places. We still don't know what's going on in a place like Maui. You know,
gosh, that's freaking sad. Shane, I appreciate you and your reporting, man. All right. The war on children. It's very, very real. And it's something we parents have to be proactive about. It's something kids have to be proactive about. We're going to talk to Robbie Starbuck about that next before we get to that. Obviously, these people, these horrible people, they're the same people in charge of the monetary system. As Shane just pointed out, that's why it costs you $500 for a grocery run where it used to cost $200. That's where we're at now. What can we do, though, as we watch the value of the dollar kind of turn to ash in our pockets? What do we do? Well, you have to buy things you can touch and feel. You have to buy hard assets. It's what the big-time money guys are buying. It's what nation states are buying. China, others, they're buying up gold. Get some gold or silver in your hands. Not gold bars. I know you're not a millionaire. This is for normal people. That's what Oxford Gold is. Right now, you might qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals, but you can't take care of any of this. You can't get it in your retirement. You can't get it in your hands unless you call Oxford Gold Group. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. They will take care of you. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they intentionally sexualizing our children and stealing their innocence?
I think that's right.
TikTok specifically is designed to target young people. That's who their audience is.
Have children died because of social media?
Absolutely.
Have they been trafficked off of social media?
100%.
Have they been sexually exploited off of social media?
Ongoing, yes.
Do you feel like this is a war on children?
I know it's a war on children, but like they said, we're coming for your kids.
Yeah.
And they have.
Can I ask the cameras to get turned off for just a second? I just want to have a real conversation.
Joining me now, the maker of that film, my friend Robbie Starbuck, and I'm glad he made it. Robbie, okay, I know you already knew a bit about the war on children before this even began. I'm sure that's part of what inspired you to do it. How bad did it get as you dug in and started making this film?
It's horrific, Jesse. I mean, it's far worse than people realize. And I think part of the reason people fail to realize just how bad it is there's sort of like this ignorance gap built in purely by the fact of the world moving so fast. I mean, we see a bad story one day, we live our lives though, and we see a bad story 3 days later, and it's hard to connect all of these different connections. And that was the thing that we were able to successfully do with this film, is connect how they all intersect. Who are the people behind this? Why are they doing this? And it connects really well with something you have talked about a lot. And it's the fact that the far left is not just, you know, the Democratic Party of old. This is a modern communist movement. And I think a lot of people, they don't quite understand, especially the older folks, how this is communism, because they think of that as like, oh, control of the means of production, you know? And I don't think they realize this has really turned into something very different, but with the same sort of communist tendencies and control mechanisms built in. They just don't need to own the means of production outright. They just need to control them. And they essentially do after the long march through the institutions and the way that they control all of these large apparatuses like big tech and big pharma. So we were able to connect it all. And I think that the shocking thing here is that this has been going on so long under people's noses, and it just has not all been connected.
Robbie, can you talk a little bit about the why? Because that's the part I think a lot of people struggle with so much when we look at kids or think about kids, even if you're someone who doesn't like kids. I mean, I just love them. I love my boys so much. But even if you're someone who doesn't like kids, you don't want to do them harm. You certainly don't want them cutting their penises off and going to the normal person would never think of harming a child. And yet these people are out to do that. Why?
Well, it's very simple, actually. I mean, they don't really like kids or care about kids. It's about a very simple, you know, math formula, basically. How do you own the future? Well, you need to own the children. You need to own the next generation. My own family came from Cuba, where indoctrination of kids in schools came before Castro took power, okay? They had taken over the schools, essentially, and they made Castro and his, quote, revolutionaries like rock stars in Cuba. And it was really how they stole power, was they were able to consolidate that group of people to support them and to be in the streets. Well, what has the far left done? They've done the same thing. They're trying to consolidate power within this block of people. And they know that this group of young people, they are going to run the country one day. They are going to be in control one day. So they need to make them operational soldiers for them. So they understand a very simple thing. Communism has never come to be. Marxism has never come to be. Socialism's never come to be in a happy country. It has to be chaotic, and it has to be really out of control. And you have to separate the child from the parent and replace the parent with the state. Well, that's what they're doing. I mean, look no further than the mom that we interviewed, mother of Yaley. Yaley was a young girl who got confused about her gender at school. The school secretly was sending her to trans groups, and the mom didn't know. And then next thing you know, CPS takes her child because she refuses to transition her daughter. And in the care of the state of California, that young girl, she called her mom one day, said, I want to detransition. I'm afraid of how people and these people at CPS are going to react. Very next day, mom gets a phone call that her daughter threw herself in front of a train and committed suicide. You know, the state is getting involved on every level in parental rights, trying to strip them away and take over the role of the parent. And that is why, to usher in a new era of control, total control by the far left.
Robbie, can you help me understand why some parents, not like the one you just, not like the Yaley lady you just talked about, God, that's so, God bless that family. Can you help me understand why some parents go along with it? In fact, some parents very clearly are encouraging it. You see these videos now and then, I'm sure you've encountered these people, you talk about this, that they'll go out there and parade their son or daughter in some dress or whatever out there and They're proud of it. How can a parent get that twisted? I would die for my kids.
Well, there's different groups of them. For some, it's fear. For some of them, it's indoctrination. For others, it's just absolute stupidity and ignorance. And I think there's this group that are very fearful. They live in blue states, and they're not courageous people. They're unwilling to fight. And the one thing they fear is their kid being taken from them. And they've got a society around them in these very blue cities telling them, you're a bigot if you don't do this. And they think, oh, there must be something wrong with me that I feel like I'm not okay with this. And so they go along with it for one reason. And there's the group that are starved for attention. They want to use their kids as really agents to get attention. And we've seen these. They're basically, we call them Munchausen moms. They're trying to get attention through transitioning their kids. And then there's the other ones that are just total believers of the party, and the party can do no wrong. And the party has this position that this is a good thing, and I'm going to go along with it wholesale. My kids bought into it, and I'm going to push it every step of the way. And so there's these different groups of them, but altogether, it really doesn't matter which side a parent is on among those different groups of reasons. What matters is they're selling out their kids to this party, whether it's out of fear, ignorance, or a drive for attention.
Robbie, can you help us understand the social media aspect of this? I can't imagine how many parents are watching right now and their kids have some form of social media, Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or Discord or whatever. How does a child go from having a social media account to cutting his penis off?
Well, let's just go with TikTok for now, okay? So what's normal during puberty? We all felt weird. Everybody felt weird during puberty. It's a weird time. Your body's changing, and it's not comfortable. It's very uncomfortable. Even the popular kids felt at different times that they didn't belong because they felt weird. Well, now when you're going through that stage, you have a device in front of your face that you spend more time with. Most of these kids spend more time with that device than they do with their parents. And that device and the teacher you spend more time with than your parents are all telling you that it's okay to be this other gender. And not only okay, but the device is the one actually telling you it's preferable. And then if you're at school and you're just observing social science, you're seeing, oh, these kids who change their gender are treated better. They're treated differently. They get extra rights basically at school. Well, these kids who don't feel like they belong suddenly have a group of people online saying, we will accept you, we will embrace you, we will love you, we will be your family. And those kids get sucked into it. And it is very easy. I mean, talk to any girl in their 30s now who was a tomboy when they were younger. And if you ask them, honestly, if you were growing up in this time period, what do you think would happen? Almost all of them will tell you, I probably would have been transed because I felt so uncomfortable. And many of these tomboy type girls, they grew up to be very feminine women who are married, have a bunch of kids, and they're very happy being a woman. And they just know how impressionable they were and how out of place they felt because they weren't feeling sexualized at that age. Like, they didn't want to be sexual beings. So they veered into that tomboy territory. And, you know, they understand how toxic this is because they see how they could have been captured by it. But that's essentially how these companies are doing it. They know they're doing it. They're pushing it through the algorithm on purpose. And, you know, if you think about it from TikTok's vantage point, they're controlled by the CCP. And what else would communist China love more than to have a communist friend, of a bunch of comrades here in America who fall in line with their ideology? And if it takes confusing the kids and transing them to get there, they're willing to do it for the chaos that will stoke in America.
Robbie, what can parents do? Parents feel helpless. They're scared. What can they do?
That is a very important piece because we didn't want to just create infotainment. First, they can watch The War on Children at thewaronchildren.com. It's been watched over 1.5 million times in just the last 48 hours. The trailer has over 30 million views. We've got Rand Paul in it, the creator of Libs of TikTok, Riley Gaines, over 20 other experts and survivors. People need to hear from them. It's a powerful documentary. But after that, go to freedomforever.us, sign up for the email list. You will be emailed what is called the Parenting Revolution Manual, and it's going to give you all of the steps to begin fighting in this war. It's not enough to watch a documentary and be outraged by it. That is not enough. In fact, if you're only going to do one of the things, go get the manual and do the things inside of it, because it can actually help change things. It can actually move us closer towards sanity again. And that is more important even than the documentary. The documentary is important for waking up people. I mean, if you've got those people in your life who don't believe there's porn in schools, they don't believe that there's sexualized drag shows or the society is overtly sexualizing kids, we've got the people there to admit that it's going on. We've got the evidence in it. We've got the major marketing executive from the largest ad agency in America admitting that they're sexualizing kids on purpose. And I think that parents need to see that, grandparents need to see it, people without kids need to see it, and then we need to act.
Go. Go watch it. Go get the email. Get, all right, Robbie, thank you. I'm so glad you and Landon did it. It's something we need out there.
Golly, that's...
Some of that stuff is so heartbreaking. That mom and her daughter. Anyway, all right, enough. We need to lighten the mood, don't we? Before we go lighten the mood, why don't you go become a First TV supporter? You want access to all of our specials? We have a serious one right now on Michelle Obama, history specials, whatever. You want all that behind-the-scenes stuff, special stuff? Go to thefirsttv.com/support and sign up. All right? We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I don't really have much to say about this clip. I just think it's awesome when some of the greats come together, when Stevie Wonder and Mariah Carey go out on stage together and kind of collab. I've always loved that kind of stuff. Sit back and enjoy.
Yes, Mariah! I can't even remark about what just happened. Yes, Mariah!
Does anybody realize that this is Stevie Wonder?
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.